best of the largest companies across industries is threatening our economy, our oceans, our security, and the very viability of our democracy. Just look at the ongoing recession or the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico for the most recent examples.
With the web emerging as a vital tool for content delivery, some industry observers are worried about the future of the internet.
The internet is not the friend of the incumbent media companies in America because it generally lowers the barriers of entry on which they have relied so far.
Susan Crawford is on the faculty of Cardozo Law School in New York City.
The problem is that this very popular NBCU content may allow the building of a moat that no competing online video distribution provider will be able to cross in the short term. That may not be good for consumers, for new online industries, or for society as a whole.
Opponents argue that the merger reinforces Comcast control of the pipeline that people use to reach the internet, including alternative print and video news and views on the web. At the same time, the merger gives Comcast vast new control over the production of and access to content, a mix that opponents fear invites censorship and unequal treatment of competing providers, including civic producers of information. Michael Copps was the only one of five FCC commissioners to attend Tuesday's hearing. He emphasized the need to protect the public interest, which he said had been neglected in past decades.
On top of the industry consolidation that developed from the hyper-speculation of recent years, hyper-speculation blessed by government, not just in communications, but across a whole wide swath of our economy's activities, we also witnessed a rapid deterioration of public interest oversight by the Federal Communications Commission, the very agency charged by law to protect consumers. Put those two together, bad private choices and equally horrendous public policy choices, and you end up with serious harm to the basic tenets of the public interest: localism, diversity, and competition. I am not of the opinion that our media environment can take too many more bad choices. Our failure to recognize the power and centrality of media to our civic life has cost this country dearly.
Comcast did have supporters in the crowd. Company contractors, employees, and recipients of Comcast charitable donations testified and painted a glowing picture of the company's largesse. Shelley Lewis is executive director of Little Angels in Elgin, Illinois, a 57-bed facility for severely disabled children and young adults who got a free digital TV upgrade from Comcast.
For two consecutive years, more than 100 Comcast employee volunteers have performed many chores around our grounds, all as part of the annual Comcast Cares Day. In addition, a local Comcast executive is a member of the board of directors of our not-for-profit arm. He has provided invaluable assistance and direction with numerous large fundraising events.
But merger opponents were unimpressed. Vicky Cervantes is a local community media producer.
We don't believe that the role of the FCC is to make decisions based on how generous a company may be to community organizations, but on what's good for democracy and media and democracy in this country.
Cervantes' commitment to democracy and media may be trumped by corporate interests in this case. Many opponents in attendance on Tuesday thought it likely the FCC would approve the proposed merger. The FCC is still accepting public comments on the deal. Chris Giovannis, Free Speech Radio News, Chicago.
And that wraps up today's program. This is Free Speech Radio News. Thanks for listening. In New York, I'm Doran Marina.
This is Harvey Pekar, and you're tuned to WBAI, listener-supported radio in New York. Is that okay? What do you want me to do, a bunch of them?
The bell for freedom still rings.
Earthwatch, transterrestrial radio with Robert Knight, returns to WBAI Wednesdays at midnight. I'm Robert Knight, inviting you to rejoin us on Earthwatch, a live, freeform radio excursion into space, science, news, politics, metaphysics, music, the arts, and more.
That the man in the moon must have found.
That's Earthwatch, transterrestrial radio, Wednesdays at midnight on the new WBAI, 99.5 FM, Pacifica Radio in New York.
For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Got questions about your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Want to know about the latest electronics?
Yeah.
Are you confused by high-definition TV?
A little.
Well, tune into WBAI every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for the Personal Computer Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's every Wednesday on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh.
So why don't you tell a friend?
Well, okay.
And tell your boss.
Well.
Hey, call your mom and tell them about the Personal Computer Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM.
Oh, okay. I got questions about my computer.
Have you got questions about your computer?
Not my coffee over in my keyboard. Do you think that's a problem?
No, not for me.
Well, it doesn't mean we're working right, Jimmy.
I'd buy a new one, you know what I mean.
Okay, but you really have got to be there. It's like the best. It's the Personal Computer Show.
On Sunday, July 18th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., come celebrate in music, dance, fashion, and food at the 4th Annual African United Day Festival at Claremont Park in the Bronx. For more information, you can go to afrobeatradio.net or wbai.org. There will also be a live broadcast of the event from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. here only on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, and WBAI.org on the web.
And you're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI New York. The time is 7 p.m. Time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. Worse, but if they could, they would. Bumpity bump for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bumpity bump.
Good evening. Program is Off the Hook. This is Red Act in the studio. I'm in a full studio tonight. I'm joined by lots of people. Let's start with, all the way on my right, Mike.
Hi.
Darko.
Yo.
Bunny.
Hey.
Nikon.
Thank you.
Hi.
Sorry, I don't recognize everybody here. Of course, Mitch Altman.
Hello.
Voltaire.
Bonjour.
David Dolphin in the corner.
Hello.
Lexicon is here.
Hello.
In the back, we have Cheshire Catalyst.
Hi there.
And Pyro.
Hello.
Jim, I skipped you because you're standing.
Well.
And on the phone, someone who's not here yet.
Well, we have Bernie S.
Well, Bernie S., of course.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Bernie, you're not here yet either.
No, but I'm coming up there tomorrow morning.
All right. And, of course, Emmanuel.
Hopefully. No, we have to call him on the air. He's running around. But we'll let people hear the dial tone, but we won't let them hear his phone number.
I see.
Yeah, that means you're supposed to turn it down.
Right.
Thank you. Okay. And my understanding is he's running around somewhere very near here.
Right, because we have a conference coming up.
Yeah, well, we have a radio show right now.
Lots of things to do still.
Hello?
Just a little thing.
Hello. What kind of noises are you making there, Emmanuel?
I'm sorry. I'm in the 2600 van on New York Drive. And how you doing? There's quite a crowd here. I'm trying to get to the station, but I've been running around all day with Kyle here, picking up things and renting trucks and stashing things for the conference, which, in all earnesty, begins tomorrow for us because we have to start setting things up tonight. So this is a tremendous air of anticipation all around us. And I hear that you have a ton of people in the studio as well.
You're not listening to us on the radio?
We're listening on the radio, but of course we turn it down now, as callers should,
right?
Because we're on delay, and it just gets very confusing. I cannot believe that guy just cut me off like that. Wow. Anyway, I'm by the Brooklyn Bridge, so I should be there in a couple of minutes. I realized at around 2:30 or so that getting to the station was going to be hard today because I had to drive a 24-foot truck with a lift gate. We had to get some people out to the island to load some Club Mate, pick up the program, pick up the badges. But, you know, it's all going very well. Everything is progressing. And this is going to be the best conference ever. And, thanks to you guys. Thanks to Red Hag and Junes for setting up the registration system this year. It was flawless. We've never done this before where it's all electronic. People are emailing their tickets and based very much on the Hacking at Random system. Do you want to tell us how you designed the system?
Not really, but...
Well, not specifically.
No, I mean, basically, we've sent out codes to people. They're just hex codes. You know, they're randomly generated, so you're not going to be able to kind of pull a pattern out of it if you tried. And you got a ticket in the email. If you print it up, bring it tomorrow. We have these barcode scanners that the HXX Foundation was nice enough to lend us. And so, really, we're just going to scan your ticket, and, you know, it'll say yes or no, and hopefully for you it'll say yes because you'll have a valid ticket. And then we'll give you a badge, and you'll be on your way, free to go into the conference and do as you please. That's pretty much it. It's pretty simple and straightforward. There was a question asked last week about whether or not people could bring tickets on, like, their phone and things like that. I did try, did not scan. So if that's your plan, I would advise against it. I would just say just print the ticket.
Foiled again.
Yeah. I mean, while that may work in some airports and things, the scanners we have don't do it. They just, the reflection's too much, so it doesn't work.
Did you try the tattoo scanning?
I didn't get a tattoo of my ticket, so I couldn't actually try that.
Well, obviously you're just not trying hard enough.
I guess bonus points if you do get your ticket tattooed, but probably won't scan. So that's basically it. Print your ticket, bring it to the conference, and you should be good to go in 20 seconds.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Did Voltaire tattoo the ticket on him?
I don't know. You'd have to ask him that.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting idea, interesting plan. By the way, I've exited the FDR Drive, and I'm pulling up to Wall Street, so I should be up in the studio fairly soon. So you guys continue onwards, and I'm going to try and park this thing.
All right.
All right, let's start by talking to some of the people in the room. Mitch... Could the people on the phone not push buttons, maybe? Mitch, you're here.
Hi.
You were just in Vienna?
I was just in Vienna for PlumberCon, which for some reason changed their name to NinjaCon, a small hacker conference of about 100 people. It was a really nice conference, one track, so everyone does the same thing at the same time, and everyone gets to know one another. And then before that, I was at another hacker conference in Bordeaux, RMLL, free software conference, which was also really nice but really huge and with really good wine.
Of course. And now you're here for Hope.
Yeah, I'm here for Hope.
What are you going to be doing at Hope?
Well, tomorrow helping everyone set up, and my main thing is organizing the hardware hacking area, which is in the center of the Hackerspace Village, which I'm also helping create that. That'll be a temporary hackerspace that runs throughout the conference, the next Hope, happening this weekend. You know, we never actually said that with the conference we've been saying. It's the next Hope, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday coming up here. And Hackerspace Village should be really interesting. There'll be hackerspaces represented from around the world. And... I'm sorry?
Lift up your mic.
I'll lift your mic up a little bit. I'm sitting on a stool, and I have to hunch over to get to my microphone. So, so there'll be hackerspaces from around the world represented in the Hackerspace Village, and it should be a lot of interesting projects being shown off. The hackerspace I started in San Francisco, Noisebridge, there'll be people there showing off our near-space balloon and the photos we took. From there, and there'll be from Middle Lab in Vienna and hackerspaces in Germany and all over the Midwest and the West and the South, and you name it, there'll be people there showing off their cool projects. And anyone in the conference is welcome to come by, see what's up, and We'll be teaching people to make all sorts of things as well in the hardware hacking area.
Sounds good. Yeah, Voltaire.
Will there be soldering lessons?
Oh, of course there'll be soldering lessons. Good. I've brought hundreds and hundreds of kits that are suitable for beginners to learn to solder with. And also, all these kits are intriguing enough that even if you're great at soldering, they're really cool to make, especially in the community of all these other really interesting geeks who are super friendly and wanting to share what they know, and you can share what you know. And that's what community is all about, and that's what the Next Hope is all about.
Okay. Will there be the ankle compass?
Yeah. So at Noisebridge, another hardware hacker made a project which he sells as a kit, the North Paw, and it's an anklet that has a bunch of vibrating motors, and it's always vibrating towards the north, whichever way you face. And the idea of this, oddly enough, is so that you always wear it and it becomes a subconscious part of you, so that eventually you just always know which way north is, or so they say.
That's really interesting. That would be great for hiking.
Yeah, he's selling a ready-made version for hiking.
I imagine it would also be quite cool for the subway in New York, that there's a lot of times I've hopped off a subway and not known which corner I'm on, not knowing which way is north. It'd be useful for that as well.
Yeah, that happens to me, especially after I get off an airplane. I went totally jet-lagged.
Yeah.
Hey, Mitch.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, the Hope Conference, the first hacker conference you attended?
It was Hope 6. That was 4 years ago. And there's people in the room here who I met at Hope 6. It's really cool. Yeah, that was my first hacker conference, and it totally changed my life forever for totally the good. It's really an amazing conference, that by far my favorite domestic conference, and that's why I'm helping so much with it and put so much energy into it. And it's something I think a lot of people would benefit greatly from, as I did.
Okay. Well, we always appreciate everything you do for the conference. And so just think, people could be coming to this conference, and in 4 years, they could be you.
One of me might be enough for our poor little planet.
No, well, the planet needs more of you, Mitch. But we also have in the room, we have so many people. We have people from Radio Statler right here.
Yes, we have three of us.
Three of you. And we spoke with you some last week, but maybe any updates or things?
Well, why don't you say what Radio Statler is?
Just for those who weren't here last week, where you should have been, because it was a good show. Radio Statler is a streaming audio project coming live from the conference floor at Hope. We are broadcasting from 9 a.m. Friday straight through until the closing ceremony. And we have live shows from a lot of the hackers and attendees. We also are streaming a couple of the larger talks, and even have recorded material that's been sent to us from people unable to attend the show. And we also are going to have an IRC chat room running. We have a phone number for people to call in, among other things. And you can find out more about us by going to radio.hope.net.
And volunteer.
Yes, you can also volunteer. Email us at radio@hope.net. With me today, as compared to last week, I was alone. With me today are both Bunny and Nick Godden, who are the other two co-conspirators on this project. And I say co-conspirators because we all are very evil on this. do you guys have anything you want to add?
Well, a big part of the Radio Statler, we were here at the Last Hope, and we had attempted to build an isolation booth to block out all of the noise, because when you have 3,000 people in a space walking around and making noise, that's not exactly conducive to a radio environment. So what we did last time was to just create just great big 3-inch foam sheets, and it didn't really work all that well. We had issues with segways and some other things.
Yes, foam does not hold up well to a segway crash. You do it at high speed with someone riding it.
So this time around, the big project was constructing a real radio isolation booth as well as we could. It's essentially a room within a room.
That'll cause damage to those who crash into it as compared to vice versa. So watch carefully when you ride.
So are you guys liable if they break their legs, or is it the conference, or how does it work?
I think we go on he who is stupid enough to smash into a wall is liable for himself. At least I believe that's the way we all should be.
All right. Well, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
But we also are going to have some interviews with the keynotes. We were aiming to have interviews ahead of time, but unfortunately, since everything's kind of backed up to the last minute, we haven't gotten a lot of people to get back to us. But we will be doing secondary interviews with multiple keynote speakers, both keynote speakers, hopefully, and with a lot of the other people giving talks. We have a few people giving a secondary talk or going more in-depth into the material they covered after the fact on the radio. And we also, for those of you unable to attend, we're going to be streaming all three of the talk rooms so that not great quality, but good enough for you to be able to hear what's going on.
All three rooms plus your own content?
Yes.
Wow.
They'll all be up on our website Friday morning. So anybody who's interested or can't make it to the conference, where you should try because it's definitely worth it, besides someone who's been here before, you can go to, again, radio.hope.net, and you'll be able to get access to all of our streams along with all the content uploaded after the fact. And just so people know, our phone number for this time around will be... Oh, wait, never mind. Apparently, I'm getting told our number changed.
No, that number is top secret until... No.
Okay, I'm getting told no.
The number will be on the website.
The number will be on the website, but we don't want to release it quite yet.
Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, you'll be able to call in, and again, you can go on to irc.2600.net and join our IRC chat room, which is Radio Statler.
And what we'll also be, for people overseas especially, we'll be offering our phone system is all VoIP, and it will be exposed to the internet, so you can make direct internet calls to it as well.
Right. Sounds high tech. Look who it is.
Welcome, me.
We're going to have to start interviewing you, Emmanuel, before you even sit down, because we're kind of pressed for time.
Look what I've got.
Ooh, what about that?
I get that right for starting the show.
Here we go.
So,
ooh, listen to that noise.
Energy from Europe. I just want to make sure not to spill it all over the board.
Yeah, that would be bad.
There's 4,000 more of those waiting for us.
They're coming, right?
Yeah, no, the Club Monte was cleared by U.S. Customs, I think, yesterday, and it's being delivered. And we also have a couple more pallets. We have, I think, about 6.5 pallets.
6.5 pallets, wow. That's,
wouldn't be enough if we were in Germany.
No, it wouldn't be, but it's enough for America, I think.
Maybe. Well, hopefully it'll all sell out because people will start loving it so much.
Saint,
get used to it.
Saint Nick has his special holiday Club Mate. Do we have a special Hope Club Mate?
No, we can barely
deal
with...
We can write that on every single bottle and we can call it...
it's called grab a Sharpie and write Hope on top.
We can barely deal with producing like one U.S. requirements label. Two is just really pushing our skill set.
What's this I also have? It's the Hope 2010 Next Hope program.
Oh, wow.
Who would like to have this thrown at them?
would you like to take the seat?
Yeah. If you have a place to sit, yes, thank you.
I don't, but that's... Okay, I'm willing to accept that.
Fine.
So while he's switching over...
Nothing like a peaceful transfer.
Have you found
power.
The secret message yet in the...
I just opened it.
Patience.
Give me time to read.
There are no hidden messages in the text of the HTML.
Wow, you keep the headphone levels low, Red Hag. Okay.
You must have good ears.
Or you don't want to hear what's going on around here. Okay. Well, okay, so what have we talked about so far in 10 seconds or less? Hi, Cheshire, how are you?
Pretty good.
Haven't seen you since the last Hope.
Unfortunately, the only time I get to New York now is for the Hope Conference.
Yeah, well, you know, we can say that. Today is literally, or maybe tomorrow, the last time we can refer to the last Hope as the last Hope.
The next Hope
as the next Hope, because after this weekend, the next Hope will be the last Hope, and I don't know what we're going to call the last Hope.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I've been referring to this two-year period as the golden era, when we can refer to the last Hope and the next Hope and know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now, Mike, what have we talked about?
We've talked about the Hackerspace Village and the Radio Statler.
Okay.
And now that we have the program in front of us, I'd like to mention the apps for the schedule.
Well, you'll have to wait because we don't have the people on the phone that we're going to talk to.
Oh, well, very good. I'll wait for that then.
All right. Well, we're going to get some people on the telephone as well. Bernie, are you there?
I'm here in Philadelphia, Emmanuel, and
great.
I'm heading up there tomorrow morning.
All right. Well, the whole city is looking forward to that with anticipation. Mitch, how are you?
Hi.
I heard you on the radio actually driving in as I was looking for a parking space, so I'm sort of associating it with stress right now, but I'll get over that.
Well, I hope I helped with your parking angel.
Fortunately, one opened up. I think he was intimidated. We have over 100 speakers, I think like 150 speakers, over 100 talks. All sorts of projects. Have we gone over the projects? Some of the projects that will be taking place, the Hardware Village, that Lockpick Village, Hackerspace Village, anything you know of, Mitch?
There's going to be a bunch of workshops. There'll be a circuit bending workshop, actually two circuit bending workshops. And
what's circuit bending?
Circuit bending is when you take some electronic circuits, often toys, that maybe they make noise, maybe they weren't intended to make noise, but you hook them up to audio outputs and now they do make noise. And a lot of people use that for musical instruments. And if you like noise, it's really fun. Ask John Cage. So there's going to be
can't
another...
Can't really ask him anymore, though, can you?
No, he's quite dead, pining for the fjords. And there's also going to be a workshop that will use old CRTs for something useful, and I should probably just leave that more of a secret. There's also going to be, the badge we haven't talked about this week is going
Kyle,
to be...
Kyle, I think you have a surprise for us.
I brought one of the badges.
He has a badge in his hand.
Cool.
This is the first badge to be shown on the radio of the next show.
We have enough people in the studio. It's almost like half our audience is here anyway.
Now, maybe people could, even with the FCC decision yesterday or the court hearing, let's try and keep the language somewhat acceptable for G-rated audiences as you describe the badge for the first time seeing it.
Very interesting.
Well, that's kind of...
very round.
Yeah,
yes, round
and interesting.
And reel to reels, I like that.
Okay, reel to reels. Is a battery installed in that yet?
No.
Okay, we're going to install a battery. Okay, Kyle's handing you a battery right now, and stand back.
Aesthetics is here. Maybe he can tell us a little bit more about what it's supposed to do.
Well, maybe you can actually watch it take form.
It's flashing.
It's like seeing your child get born or... something.
So aesthetics, what are we seeing?
Yeah, it's supposed to do that, right?
Yeah. The blinky means it works.
Yeah, it works better if you're talking to a microphone.
Means it works.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see the basics of this. It's basically an active RFID tag. So we put the battery in and it's blinking and the blinky light means it works.
I see. Okay.
It just changed. Now it's doing something else.
Now it's not blinking.
An active RFID means what for people who don't know?
Active RFID means that it's RFID tag that produces its own signal and can send a much longer RFID signal.
Yeah, an RFID is radio frequency identification. So readers that can read such things can tell who you are and where you are throughout the conference. And we'll be collecting that data throughout the conference that'll be available for anyone to download. And we'll be enticing people to give... to register their unique identification number so that they can play games and do all sorts of fun things.
I also like the fact that I'm seeing a bunch of pin headers on here, so this is definitely something you can play with and modify.
What does that mean to people who don't know what that means?
Basically, these badges are created for Hacken, and Travis Goodspeed is one of the people who helped design all of this, and he's actually going to be hosting a badge Hacken workshop. And in addition to that, we've actually released a public API that has been around for a while, and we've invited people to create their own software applications that they can come and use with the data. Because we'll be doing live triangulation and tracking where people are at the conference, and you can tap into a website that we're going to make public at the conference, and you can tie your own application that you've written into it and watch all the cool visuals.
Where can people go to see how to do this?
If you go to amd.hope.net, we have documentation for everything. So you can see how to tie your application into it.
Okay. Wow. Are you pleased with the way it looks?
I'm really happy. It looks really cool.
This is the first time you've seen it, right?
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen like little sketchups, but this is really, really cool. I think people are going to be really happy with it.
It's one of the coolest things I've seen, badge-wise. And they arrived a few days ago, and we've been marveling at them, making sure they're all there, and they are, and they're awesome. I should point out, for those of you who missed pre-registration, it closed on Sunday, regular registration, will be opening up tomorrow, Thursday, at 5 p.m. at the Hotel Pennsylvania. Just walk into the Penn Pavilion entrance, which is sort of to the left of the main doors, and that's where we'll be. That's where the conference starts, on the second floor. First floor and second floor, and also the 18th floor.
Even if you didn't miss pre-registration, you still need to pick up your badge at registration.
That is true, yes. So you don't have to do it tomorrow.
No, you have to do it sometime before you can come in.
Well, unless you decide not to go, but
that'd be foolish.
Yeah, if you already bought the ticket, you really, really should.
I mean,
go.
Even if you didn't buy the ticket, it'd be foolish not to come.
That's
but
true
especially
too.
If you did buy it,
that's true too. We have had more people register for this conference than ever before. I'm pretty surprised. I thought with the economy and everything, everybody would be staying at home, but no, everyone is coming to this thing.
Well, then again, with the economy the way it is, this is a very affordable conference to go to. I mean, so many others, you basically have to sell the shirt off your back, whereas with Hope, you keep the prices lower. So
yeah,
people can
and
use this more affordable.
In the middle of New York City, true. Which is incredible. Incredible location. But, you know, I heard some bad news today, folks. I heard some very bad news. I think, Pyro, I heard it from you, actually. I don't know if you want to say anything about this. If you don't, I will.
You're looking at Pyro was sitting, but...
Oh, he left?
He's somewhere else right now.
It was such bad news that he left. Maybe
not Kevin can go find him.
That's not Kevin. Hey, how you?
That's me.
How you doing?
Hey.
Wow. Welcome. You just came all the way down here from...
Burlington, Vermont.
Burlington, Vermont. Wow. People are coming from all over the place, even Burlington, Vermont, to get here.
It's true. There are several people coming from Burlington, Vermont.
Good. Bring as many as you can.
I tried.
I'd like to think every state is represented. And most countries.
Do we know for sure?
I'm sure. Red Hack, we can check. Yeah, we've got names of the pre-registrants anyway.
If anyone is listening that is registered from Alaska.
No, we know about Alaska. We've got plenty of Alaskans. Mm-hmm. It's no problem at all.
Plenty of Alaskans.
Hey, I just wanted to add something in really fast.
Yeah, I'll get to the bad news. The bad news can wait. No problem. Oh, yeah.
No, if you were an attendant at the Last Hope and you still have your badge from the Last Hope, those will actually work with the system. So that's going to be really cool.
They won't get you in.
Oh, right. They won't get you in. But
that's not what he means.
We can track you if you have a Last Hope badge.
We've been tracking you for the last 2 years.
You'll have both.
And the information has all been sold to Google.
Oh, boy.
Yes, there's a reason why the Last Hope badges were shaped like a gravestone.
My God, you did tattoo the ticket onto you. Wow. Oh, boy. Okay, so the bad news. Pyro's here. Pyro, did you want to tell us the bad news, or should I tell the bad news? You want me to tell? Thank you very much. Thanks for that.
Well, I'm going to be the bearer of bad news.
Okay. All right. Well, the meeting we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and we were all confused as to whether or not it was a meeting we could speak at or what was going to be decided. In fact, it was simply a meeting where the City Planning Commission, was announcing their decision based on the secret public hearing they had in May about the Hotel Pennsylvania's fate. And from what I understand, today they voted unanimously to move ahead with the project that involves tearing it down. Yeah. Now, that's not the end of it, folks. That doesn't mean it's all over. The City Planning Commission is but one step. Keep in mind, Community Board? They voted almost unanimously. I think only one person voted in the other direction to not approve it. So it seems the community is against this plan. It seems the City Planning Commission is for this plan. It seems a lot of money is being passed around to various hands. And it still has to have a public hearing in front of the City Commission?
City Council.
City Council. I'm sorry. There's so many different organizations here. That is one meeting that we are going to let the world know about. And that's something that we hope to attend and to be vocal at. This thing's not over yet. And with several thousand people showing up this weekend at the Hotel Pennsylvania, I think these voices will be heard.
Understand that this will be the very last public meeting for this project.
All right.
We miss this. It's over.
It's over. Well, it's over unless Vornado decides not to do it, because they could always decide not to do it.
Got a chance of that.
Yeah, it's important to realize Vornado owns the property. They own the hotel. They're the ones that want to tear it down. It's not like somebody is coming in and buying it. The owners are the ones who want to do this, and the owners must be convinced it's a very bad idea. We have 1,700 hotel rooms. It's sold out this weekend, completely filled. It's 1,700 rooms, not even people, but rooms. Many rooms have several people in them, especially this weekend. And think of the thousands of people who would not be coming to New York were this place not here, who would not be able to afford to come to New York were this place not here. And also think of the history. Now, Kyle, we found something very interesting in the last couple of days. Kyle's doing the Telephone Pioneers of America talk on Saturday, and we found a book. Look at this book. You want to describe that to us, Kyle?
It's a pamphlet, a fairly thick one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to break it.
It's old, so don't hit it.
It's very old, no, but it's sturdy. It's very sturdy. It's well made, and it's basically got the proceedings in about 60 pages of the 1931 Telephone Pioneers of America meeting and the meeting of the association. It's the 18th, actually.
And where did that meeting take place?
This meeting took place at, well,
As a matter of fact, it took place at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York, New York.
Wow.
October 16th and 17th, 1931.
Now, we were able to track down, I think, the last remaining copy of the proceedings of that meeting from an antique bookstore. And there's an amazing picture of the hotel there in the front of it.
That's a gorgeous sketch of it.
And Pyro, is that the one we use on the website? Is that it's the same one? Okay. You see that there's nothing around it. It's the only building standing there. What we're trying to do is scan this. Certainly, you'll see parts of it at Kyle's talk, and we're going to try and share this, as much of this as possible. But this goes to show the many things that have happened. The very place that we're having a hacker conference, they had a telephone pioneers meeting in 1931.
Maybe you can use the Book Liberator, which will be at the conference, to scan it in.
Not quite sure what that is.
Some folks from an organization called Question Copyright will be bringing a Book Liberator, which liberates books.
Okay, I didn't know they were in prison, but good for them. All right.
So you can liberate this book with it, I think.
Well, can we liberate the hotel and keep it from being destroyed?
I don't have a hotel liberator that I know about.
Why don't you work on that? That's important.
Well, Mike, there's lots of books to liberate.
Yeah, well, start one at a time.
Yeah.
If we want there to be a next hope, we need to save the hotel or find another place in the middle of New York City across the street from Penn Station where everybody can find easily and afford to stay at.
So we need to find the genie in the bottle?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? We're hackers. We can do things like this. We make the impossible happen because hope is impossible. Everyone tells me that. The first hope that people said, there's no way you can pull this off. There's no way people can possibly afford to do this in New York City. Too many regulations. The government will crack down on you. You know what? Even with the most wanted man in the world as our keynote speaker, we're still going to pull this off somehow. Yeah, Dan Kaminsky. He's the most wanted man. It really is.
Do you want to explain that joke, or is it just not even worth it?
No joke.
All right, okay. Yeah. All right.
Now, do we have people on the phone we need to
No, we'll get them on the phone, but we have so many people in the studio.
Okay, well, who else has something they want to spout about?
Lexicon's always here.
Okay. He's not always here, but he always
He's always doing something.
Right, right.
And one of the things he's doing is helping concerts exist.
Okay. Concerts all over, or concerts at the Hope Conference?
Well, we're going to have two concerts at the Hope Conference on Friday and Saturday night. They'll be going on at 11:30 p.m. on the expo floor, and it's going to be the circuit bending and chiptunes kind
again
of
with
hacker
the circuit
music.
Bending. Wow, a lot of circuit bending going on
it's
at this thing.
It's very popular, apparently. So we're going to broadcast that on Radio Statler as well. In conjunction with the concerts, we're going to run some wristband hours starting at 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday nights for a significant discount over the total conference admission price. You can come in from 10 p.m. until dawn and hang out on the expo floor. You can't go to the talks, but you can come to the Hackerspace Village and to the concerts and to see all the installation art and lots of other fun stuff that's on our expo floor.
And you can upgrade to a full ticket if you wish.
Yes, you can turn in your wristband the next morning, and the price will apply to the full conference admission.
How is it even possible to have a significant discount on this already highly inexpensive conference?
Well, we figure that there are some people who are just interested in the concert late at night. They'll come in for that, and they'll be so intrigued by everything else going on that they'll want to stay. And, of course, if they want to stay, they got to fork over the extra to support the conference. But we do want to open up the door and support the music community as well, and just hopefully get a new crowd in there as well. And not that there's anything wrong with the old crowd, just additional people, because we have people from all over, all different walks of society showing up to this thing.
We have 8 different acts coming for the two concerts. Wow. So it's a lot of musicians coming in.
Uh-huh.
No more plans?
No more playing the surface tension of a plant as music, not this time.
Just the Vienna Vegetable Orchestra, are they showing up?
No.
What do you mean playing a plant?
We couldn't get the Vienna Vegetable
Did you try? Did you ask Johannes? I'm sure he has connections there.
No.
All right.
And no vuvuzelas, I hope.
You know,
well, that's up to the musicians.
I saw a vuvuzela in the street on Avenue B the other day, and it was.
Did you smash it?
No, it was met with a lot of consternation.
I also saw an electronic vuvuzela online, made with a 5x5 timer. So somebody could bring that and play it in theory
if they want to get punched.
Yeah, well, no. Bring your vuvuzela to Hope, and we'll do something creative with it, and it won't involve too much pain, I don't think. But
I turned off lots of those over the last couple of weeks.
How can you turn off a vuvuzela? That sounds like a vuvuzela being strangled. You mean, Mitch, you turned off TVs that had vuvuzelas on them. You didn't actually turn off a vuvuzela.
Good enough.
All right.
But also at night will be some films. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. We have all kinds of films that we're deciding on right now as far as what we're going to play in actuality and some things that have been announced that are in the program.
Will you be playing Most Dangerous Man in America?
Can't say exactly what we'll be playing, but we're gonna make it interesting.
Okay.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay, so yes, go ahead, Lex.
One other thing that I'm really involved in is the lightning talks. After the keynote speakers go on, we're going to let people come up and do 5-minute presentations with 2-minute Q&A, and we're not going to really decide who gets to talk until the very last minute during the conference. So if you didn't get in as a speaker, or you have something that doesn't take 45 minutes to describe, it only takes 5, then come and submit. If you email projects@hope.net and include your phone number so we know how to get in touch with you at the last minute, just let us know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, you opened that up pretty recently because I saw a whole bunch of those compiling in.
Yeah, it came. We posted it today or yesterday.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Go ahead.
And I've been to events like that where you have a 5-minute talk and you think that that's not enough time, but it actually really is. I've seen some really interesting 5-minute talks. So if you have an idea for something, or if you're interested in seeing some interesting talks, that's a good place to go. I would definitely vouch for that.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm telling you to turn my microphone down.
Well, I did. Now you're talking into it. All right. I think Mike is getting some of our special guests on the phone. Bernie, anything that you wish to add at this point?
Well, you mentioned the films. I didn't think mention the name of the event is the Saturday Night Hacker Cinema. I think it starts at 11:59 p.m. on Saturday night, and the hours of stimulating hacker films and stuff you're not going to see anywhere else. So there'll be some surprise guests too, I think. But I wanted to also mention, we were talking about radio earlier. There will be an amateur radio station, as mentioned last week, but we had several callers and people write to us about what would the frequencies be that this radio station will be available to contact. So I'm going to announce them very quickly. They're also online at hope.net. Go to the amateur radio wiki. But on the 2-meter band, 146.55 megahertz. On the 70-centimeter band, 446.05 megahertz. On the 10-meter band, 28.37 megahertz. On the 20-meter band, 14.27 megahertz. On the 40-meter band, 7.26 megahertz. And on the 75-meter band, 3885 kilohertz, or 3.885 megahertz. Now, what this means is that there'll be a radio station at Hope, but not a broadcast station, an amateur radio station where two-way communications, voice and data. People can contact Hope from all around the world via radio, no infrastructure between us and them. And if they establish contact, we will send them a limited edition QSL card. It's a special kind of postcard that people have been exchanging for like a century when they've established radio contact with another station. And these were designed by Ed Piskor, and they're really cool. So if you want one, you got to contact the next Hope radio station. The call letters are N2H. Listen to us for us on the air on those frequencies during the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and get your QSL card. Or if you have a portable ham radio, bring it to Hope. You can contact us there on one of those frequencies, and we'll give you your QSL card with the requisite information filled out.
Yeah, Bernie, like last other Hopes, people will be able to take tests and become a ham radio operator?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. On Sunday morning from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., there'll be a 3-hour volunteer exam, or VE, session where you can, if you're not a ham, you can take the technician, no-code technician test, which is really simple. You can go to like QRZ.net or QRZ.com and take some of the sample exams. If you study for like an hour, if you have any technical background at all, even if not, I know a friend of mine is an accountant, and I dragged him into one of these tests, and he passed it. He was flabbergasted. So it's not hard. And you can operate on all these radio frequencies for free that the FCC has allocated for radio hobbyists. It's really an amazing hobby, and you can build kinships with people around the world with similar interests without any infrastructure that can be shut down between you and them. So check out the if you're already a ham, you want to upgrade, you can show up at the VE session. Again, go to the Hope Wiki. And you can hope.net, and you can look at the wiki and find out what you need to bring as far as ID and
that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Ham radio is just one part of the HOPE conference, and boy, there's just so many things going on throughout this weekend. 24 hours a day. It's the most incredible thing. Just come on by 7th Avenue between 32nd and 33rd Street. You'll just see us hanging out right there on the street, inside, taking over the whole place. It's awesome. By the way, I also want to say a special thanks to Tony, Dot, Rhett, and Greg Newby, who are currently still, I think, out on the island. They've been struggling loading things into big trucks all day today. Otherwise, they'd be here right now. So, yeah, there's people working to get this thing going. Of course, Chris and friends, Adam, they're all working on AV equipment, Draghorn with network operations. There's so many people to thank. And we will be trying to thank them all, but there are many people working around the clock right now to make sure this thing happens. And wow, it's going to happen again. This is our 8th conference, and they just keep getting better and more interesting. Now, do we have somebody on the phone, Mike?
We have two people on the phone, plus plus Bernie, which is three people on the phone. We have Micah, who's on the phone. Hello?
Hello.
And we have Andrew.
Hello.
So Micah developed the Android and iPhone applications for the HOPE conference. And Andrew developed the Palm Web OS, that's what it's called, right?
Correct.
Application, and also in the studio is Cheshire, who you developed a website.
Yes. Yeah, the website is for anybody who doesn't have an Apple iPhone or an Android. If they just have a web browser on their mobile phone, they can access thenexthope.mobi.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
It worked good.
Oh, thank you. The short form is h.ph2.mobi. That way your thumb doesn't have to work overtime to find it.
Okay, so now we have applications in how many different things now altogether? Has anybody kept count?
Well, three, four, many.
Uh-huh. But we have the Android market covered. Yep. We've got the iPhones covered. We've got BlackBerries. And
I guess not the – well, you can use Cheshire's website on the BlackBerry.
You can, okay.
Yeah. That's the trick.
Wow.
Anybody who at least has a web browser on their phone will be able to use my website.
Uh-huh.
Micah, why don't you tell us a little bit about the applications that you wrote?
Okay. So I made an iPhone app and an Android app, and they are basically just a convenient way to get access to the schedule for HOPE. And it's easy to also favorite the talks that you want to go to. And yeah, they're both free. They're in the iPhone App Store and the Android market. And I wrote them in as cross-platform a way as I could. And they're also open source. The source code is up on GitHub. And a cool thing is actually, I think that hopefully people will be forking the project for these apps for other conferences, because it seems like it takes 2 hours to take these same apps and make them work for any conference.
It's also cool. Telling me that there's a giant fire-breathing monster. Is that true?
As far as I know, that's true. Yeah, the apps have a notice section that make it so if there's anything important that HOPE organizers want to try and spread around the conference, they could update what the notice is on the app. And right now the notice is warning, there's a giant fire-breathing tarantula monster loose in Manhattan.
Oh, dear.
Be extra vigilant and make sure your firewall is up. I'm not actually in Manhattan right now. I'm not getting in until tomorrow, so I can't confirm or deny that.
Well, I hear some noises coming from outside, so who knows? That might be exactly what's going on there.
For other conferences that want to fork the app, how do they end up updating the notification?
So the way that this these apps work, I actually made an Android app, an iPhone app, and a web application that is all server-side and password-protected just for the organizers of the conference. And the web application lets you update the schedule and also update the notice that gets shown up on the app. And so the apps actually pull data from the website, but then they also work offline. So if you have an iPod Touch and you know you're somewhere where you don't have access to a Wi-Fi network, it will still work You'll still have the latest schedule as of the last time you were connected to the internet. So actually, maybe as hope is very near, we should update that notice to have something more useful.
So, Andrew, I understand that you, did you port the app to the WebOS? Did you make a new one? How does yours work?
Well, I started with some of his graphics and some of his ideas and sort of rewrote it. WebOS is primarily done in HTML and JavaScript, and one of the things that I just really like about the phone or the WebOS is that it's kind of pretty like the iPhone but more open like the Android. It's written in HTML and JavaScript, which makes it not necessarily a port, but it is very similar to the other two and works very similarly as I think most of the features of the others. So I don't have anything to try either of the others. So
how do people get a copy?
It is currently in the app catalog.
So I guess if people have a WebOS phone. People have a WebOS phone. They know, go to the app catalog and search for
Correct.
The Next Hope.
It's on the phone just search for Hope or the Next Hope, and it should show up.
And I guess, Micah, we should ask you the same question about the ones that you wrote.
In the Android market and in the iPhone App Store, it's just called the next Hope. So you just search for that, and you can get it.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, for both the iPhone and Android apps, the way that I made them kind of cross-platform. It's not completely cross-platform, it's just kind of cross-platform. Most of the logic is written in HTML and JavaScript, just like the WebOS one. And most of the app is just rendered inside of a web view. So it's very similar to just looking at a website on your phone, except it has a little bit of extra magic that makes it so it can store local copies of the schedule and things like that.
Okay, well, thanks to both of you for these apps. Do we have to keep calling them apps? And for being on the phone with us, but we're out of time.
Yeah, unfortunately, we really have to get moving because we only have an hour. We had 2 hours last week. We only have 1 hour this week. We have so many people in the studio. And actually, I just want to read this before we get to our next guest. This is something Jim handed to me as soon as I walked through the door. He wouldn't let me come in until I got this piece of paper. It's important. These are anniversary dates for the conference dates, July 16th through 18th. These are things that happened, apparently, on these dates, so we should mark them as we attend the conference. July 16th, the first day of the conference, in the year 622, the beginning of the Islamic calendar. And in 1941, Joe DiMaggio hit safely for the 56th consecutive game. Two very monumental occurrences, both on the same day. But it gets better. July 17th, 1971, Cory Doctorow, Canadian author. I think what that means is that that's his birthday, I'm pretty sure. Because the next one is 1793, Charlotte Corday, French aristocrat and murderer. So apparently that was his birthday as well, July 17th. And finally, July 18th, 1969, Chappaquiddick Island. Senator Ted Kennedy drives Oldsmobile off a bridge and later discovers that he had a passenger inside. Yeah, that was 1969. Okay, well, I'm sure we'll be marking those occasions throughout the conference. But yeah, 2010, the Last Hope Conference, July 16th through 18th. Joining us, our good friends from Wiley are here with our brand new book that has just come out. First of all, you guys want to introduce yourselves, and then we'll talk about the book a little bit.
I'm Carol Long. I'm the executive acquisitions editor, and I've been working with Emmanuel not only in this new book, Dear Hacker, but we had Best of 2600, and then we had Best of 2600 Collector's Edition. So we're really thrilled about having Dear Hacker, and I'd like to introduce Ashley Zerker, who is the marketing manager for Dear Hacker, and she's going to talk a little bit about how it's doing out of the gate and some special things that we are doing, in particular, Wiley being there at the Hopes Conference this weekend. So, Ashley.
Hello, everyone. Yes, as Carol said, my name is Ashley Zerker, and I'm the marketing manager at Wiley Publishing. And I've actually been reading quite a bit of this book, and it's been a true joy, and I've been laughing out loud in my cube. And oddly enough, it keeps disappearing from my cube. My desktop copy, I keep having to order one because it keeps getting walked off with.
It's a heavy book. Listen to this.
Yes.
I mean, that's it's a good, 600 pages or something?
Oh,
it's huge.
Yes, and the interior is just awesome, and the cover has turned out really well as well. So I've gotten lots of compliments from our staff at Wiley, and like I said, I keep losing my desk copy, so having to keep ordering more.
Well, so. I mean, the Best of 2600 did really well, and that was a fascinating collection of hacker stories. But this book, I think, is more accessible to people who aren't hackers because it's our favorite section of the magazine. It's all the letters and the replies to the letters that sometimes are rather sarcastic and just fascinating range of people who write to us. Any issue, you'll see that, but here you see so much of it. And it was a hard time figuring out how to catalog it into what particular subjects. But I think, what did we have? We had some letters from prisoners. We had some letters from people just asking a lot of questions. Anything else?
I mean, even one of my favorite ones is actually from a high schooler who was wanting to take a class, and he was thought ill upon, and they didn't want to let him in the class. And then he was saying, you know, why do you fear me? And it's, you know, you think I'm going to hack into your systems, but now he is going to because they won't let him in the class. So
yes, I remember that one.
And the response was, you know, treat criminals like criminals and they'll act like criminals. So,
And I think, Emmanuel, when you and I first talked about this, the letters to the editor, if you will, is really one of the most popular features of the quarterly. And I think that when you look at the responses, not only the letters, but in particular your responses, if I may be so bold as to compliment you on that.
You may.
Thank you. that, you know, it's amazingly witty. Not that you're not amazingly witty. but they're also really educational. Sarcastic in the most polite way, just unbelievably polite. So I can't imagine that any of the responses would ever deter anyone else from writing in, no matter how frivolous or informed or completely uninformed. One of the things that I had to make straight today at Wiley was the whole black hat, white hat thing, which of course is just a contrived, fictional labeling made up by people who, as you well say, have money. And there is no black hat, white hat, gray hat, any of those types
of
things.
Thank you, yes.
And so there are myths surrounding hackers that this book dispels.
I see three people in this very room with black hats.
I'm not looking, but am I wearing one?
Yes.
Oh, damn.
There's a bit of white hat on you as well.
I'm sorry, what?
There's a bit of white hat on you as well.
Okay, that's good to hear, I guess. but, okay, so you guys are going to be at the conference,
yes,
too. And I guess I'll be doing a signing.
Yes.
I didn't know for sure. It's good to verify that. All right. That went over very well with the Best 2600 in 2008, and this will, I think, go over at least as well.
And a special promotion?
I believe yes, it is also, it's on promotion currently at Barnes & Noble, so you can look for it on a table there.
Oh, it's on a table?
Yes.
Not buried in the back. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So if I walk into a Barnes & Noble, I see it in the front, or do I have to ask around?
You shouldn't have to ask around, but it should be near the tech section. So.
Okay,
and,
all right.
And remember, when you go into a Barnes & Noble, there are really three categories of where books are. Okay, they're on the regular shelves, and then they're in those end cap things, you know, those plexiglass things.
Yeah.
So on the shelves is, you know, level 3. The end cap thing is level 2. On the table, level 1.
Okay, I'd like for people to go and look in their local
yes.
Barnes & Noble, make sure that they're complying with this.
And if they're not, right? Yes, yeah. Ask at the information desk.
All right, and of course they're in other bookstores too, Borders, yes. and I believe some people actually run bookstores that aren't part of those chains.
Personal people,
yes. Yes.
That's right.
It's a new development. But
that's right. We call them independent bookstores.
And they usually have cats.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And a small section of used books, yeah.
Walter.
So if these were cereals, they should be like the Lucky Charms where they're at the end of the aisle.
No, they're in the middle of the aisle. But whatever, yeah, they're kind of like that. Great. Okay, any other comments or thoughts or questions about the conference? I mean,
No, but
Carol,
I think,
were you at the last one?
I was not, but David Mayhew.
Yes, that was, yeah.
And David will be joining.
Going to be there too.
Okay.
Yes.
So we really have a fine contingent of Wiley people speaking to the point that things just grow with hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even though this will be last hope, even though
the no, this is the next hope, the last hope, yeah, and hopefully there'll be a hotel for the one after this.
That's right.
That's what we're going to call it, the one after this.
That's right.
All right.
So, great. And remember also that there are not only the Dear Hacker book, but there's the Best of 2600 collection book and the Best of 2600.
Is that going to be there too? Book?
The original one, yes.
The original one.
And am I signing that as well?
If you want to.
You can sign anything you'd like.
Well, after a while, hand kind of freezes up. But okay, it'll be great. And you guys have been great to work with.
Good.
And hope to have many projects in the future.
Yes,
all kinds of
much.
Hacker themes.
That's right. Absolutely. Remember the phone booth.
Uh-huh. The
Remember
phone
we
booth.
We talked about phone booths?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that after the show. All right. Not Kevin. Now, you have something to tell us about speaking of phone booths and things like that.
Phone booths and things. Well, as you mentioned before with the AMD project and the Open API, and as Chester's website and the apps, we at Telefreak Project decided that not everyone has these newfangled smartphone things, so we wanted to take this a step further. So we developed a way for anyone with any old type of cell phone or any type of phone to track anyone in the Hotel Pennsylvania attending the Hope Conference who has one of the AMD badges. So all you do is you call up our special number, you punch in a badge number, and it will read you back or SMS you back all the information about that person, where they are, what talk they're in, anything about that.
Now, I assume the person has to opt into this, right? This is something that we're not just tracking people without telling them.
No.
Even though we're telling them now.
You can't.
Well, you're always what?
The opt-in is that you have a battery in the badge.
Okay, yes.
can I?
I assume there's a number printed on the outside that you would know. Or yeah, okay.
All right. Well, you can look at the badge and see what's on there.
Right.
Right? Okay, Voltaire.
Is this phone number immune from war dialing from Rebel?
I think you know the answer to that question.
What happens, not Kevin, if I call the phone number right now? Well, I have 12 lines available to me.
Are you Rebel?
No.
Well, yeah, maybe a Rebel comes.
What if I call?
Yeah, what happens if you call that number now?
Well, you get nothing because there's no information being.
It sounds like a dial tone to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, All right. We're going to experiment after the show. Bernie, any final words from you? Because we're running out of time.
We have a lot of prizes to give away at the Next Hope. A lot of very generous people and companies gave us some great stuff. Another reason to come to Hope is to get free stuff. And just want to say real quick, we have O'Reilly Publishing, a friendly competitor of Wiley, gave us some great books to give away. Bill Pollack of No Starts Press. Ed Pisker is giving us some of his hacker graphic novels. Doug from Locksport International giving us some lockpick sets. Deviant and Babak from Tool US giving us some lockpick sets. Shane at Think Geek are giving us some geek toys. Scott Vibin from the Lost Film Fest are giving us some great T-shirts, and Mitch Altman, I think, will be throwing some TV guns our way. So thanks to all of you and all the other people giving some prizes away at the Next Hope.
All right, and of course we'll have the largest hackerspace village, I think, ever to have assembled at a hacker conference in the United States. Is that a correct statement, Mitch?
Hugest.
Hugest. Okay, so that's really going to be something. Voltaire.
The Twitter hashtag is the Next Hope.
Okay, yes, that's true. Tweet about us, join our Twitter account, follow us, whatever, the Next Hope. Or just 2600 or whatnot. Go to our website, www.hope.net or thenexthope.org. We will see you at the Hope Conference this weekend, starting Friday morning, early. 10 o'clock is the first talk, running until Sunday evening. You can register tomorrow, starting at 5 p.m. at the Hotel Pennsylvania on the first floor. And if you can't make it to the conference, you want to listen on Radio Statler, what's the address to listen to?
You're going to go to radio.hope.net. We have links on the main Hope website, and we have links from hopefully everywhere else we get press.
All right. And also, I think radio.thelasthope.org also will work as well.
Or radio.thenexthope.net. Or
The next hope. Sorry.
Yeah. Or radio7hope.com, I think, also works.
Okay.
Hope7 Radio. And I mean, we have tons of ways of getting
this is very confusing. Radio.hope.net
yes.
is where
yes,
you should go.
Let's just stick with the one. Radio.
That should work. It might get overwhelmed, but it should work. All right. Thanks very much for everybody who was a part of this, and thanks to all the work that's gone into this. We'll see you this weekend, and we'll be back next week to talk about the aftermath. Till then, good night. /.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com/.com
Sabrina Jacobs here with an urgent message. WBAI's local station board election is happening and you can run as a candidate for the board. We are calling on you, Pacifica members, to support your station, not only with your hard-earned dollars, but with your voice, your expertise, and an opportunity to represent those in your community by running as a candidate for your local station board. The candidates in this election are members just like you who would like to help keep the Pacifica Radio Network alive by making important decisions with respect to ensuring local community needs are being prioritized. Visit PacificaElections2010.org to download a nomination package and contact the local election supervisor, Nicole Justice Hilton, at 347-329-4533. Nominations close Monday, July 19th.
And that's the truth. WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. Let's see now. Well, it's almost about that time, but hey, I'm glad LeBron didn't go to the Knicks. You see the way the papers treated him the next day when he decided to go where he wanted to go to? Well, that's another story. But the story today is... It is Wednesday, July the 14th, 8 p.m. exactly, and this is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, and it's time for the personal computer shoe.
Get him. And this is Joe King. Welcome to the personal computer show with Hank Key here in the studio. And on the telephone coming through you from the miracle of Ma Bell will be David Perry in just a few minutes. Hank, before we get into tonight's show, I'd like to tell the folks something. We made an announcement 2 weeks ago, I guess, that we were going to have a contest on what YLMF stands for. YLMF, what is YLMF?
Well, first of all, YLMF is a Linux distro of which it's really Ubuntu 10.04, but with a different presentation manager, and it happens to be a Windows XP presentation manager or user interface. It's actually quite good, but instead of using the name Ubuntu something, they called it YLMF, and it's from China, and it's a very impressive product.
Well, we're running a contest on a gag contest, if you will, but on what is the best... submission of what does YLMF stand for? Now, I want to tell you that we had a young lady submitted a thing that said that you like me fun or something to that.
You like my fun.
My fun.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a Chinese noodle dish. But we're not looking for that. We're looking for a meaningful...
Something that's computer related.
Something that's computer related.
By the way, as you know, if you really want to think what MF stands for and YLMF, they meant it. They meant it, you know.
They did mean it. Now, the other contest that we're running, before I leave that, David, I want you to know that as the prize for the YLMF contest... David Perry out on the West Coast is going to donate a Trend Micro Internet Security Package that gives you a license for two or three people. I don't recall.
Not just an internet security project, but I'm going to throw in a stuffed dog in a doctor's coat called Dr. Dog that is the Trend Micro mascot.
There you go. So come right. Send email to pcradio at pcradioshow.org. In the subject line, put YLMF contest, YLMF contest. If you don't put that in, then when I run the filter on it, it's going to end up in the wrong mailbox and I'll never see it. So, and if we pick you as a winner, and I want you to know that there may be more than one winner, depends on how good the names are, you will get a Trend Micro Internet Security and an autographed copy of the Trend Micro dog.
By the way, Dave, didn't Cyber Media at one time have a dog?
Yes, we had a product at CyberMedia called Guard Dog that would bark
Guard
at
Dog,
you.
That's it.
That's it. I remember that.
The now, antivirus portion of Guard Dog was made by Trend Micro, which was my initial contact with Trend Micro.
I didn't know that, but now it makes sense that you went from CyberMedia to Trend. Now,
well, I had always been an antivirus guy.
You've been anti-everything. I don't know. The second contest we're running is because of... we're running a contest called That's Stupid.
Marty Winston.
Marty Winston, yeah. Who's the editor and founder of News Tips News Bulletin, has been providing us with four or five minute segments. Are we going to have one tonight, Stevie?
No.
That's because Stevie was goofing off and not doing the editing he was supposed to be doing. I sent it to Stevie, though.
Yes, you did. I didn't know we were going to play it this week.
Well, I sent it to you for what reason, again? Explain to me. I sent it to you for your edification and amusement. At any rate.
Let me know when you want to play it.
Next week.
Okay.
I'm pretty edified.
By the way, just in time for the World Series.
At any rate, the segment is called That's Stupid or That's Really Stupid. And so far, he's done the concept of megapixels for digital cameras, the way they're marketed, he says, that's stupid. And he's got a segment on That's Stupid on extended warranties. Well, we're running a contest. If you have something that you really think is stupid that you would like Marty Winston to talk about in his That's Stupid segment, send it in. And if he uses it, you will get an electronic boogie board, which is something like an Etch-a-Sketch, but it's done with LCDs. And it's fun. I thought that was stupid, but my wife really liked it, so I guess it's not as stupid as I am. Hank, aside from That Stupid and the YLMF contest, is there anything else of significance this week?
Yes, there is, but before we get to it, I'd like to ask Dave something like a stupid question. Is malware calendar sensitive at all? Like, I was just thinking, we're going to be on the air and starting our 27th year in the first week in August, and we happen to have started back in 1984, and it coincided with the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. And I was just wondering, is malware calendar sensitive?
Well, yes, some is, but that's really there are two issues here. One is calendar-sensitive malware, which we used to see a lot more of, okay? I don't know if you remember...
Hitler's birthday?
No, actually, Michelangelo's
birthday. That's what I was thinking of, the Michelangelo virus.
Or also, there was the Christmas Day virus, there was the Friday the 13th virus, remember that one, also known as Jerusalem B? Lots of that kind of stuff. But what's more gerund than that, what's more germane than that... Let's go to Building Your Vocabulary with David Perry. What's more germane than that is that nowadays things go in and out of fashion, so you actually have like a release date. So we date many pieces of malware from the first date we see them. For example, the Love Bug was May the 4th, 2001, which you can memorize by using the slogan, May the 4th be with you. July, this is a real slow season right now, and it used to be because everybody was at vacation, so, there's nobody, you're not going to infect a lot of machines. Well, right now, we've got a steady stream of criminal malware that just comes out all the time, just a background buzz of it. But coming right up is August, and August traditionally has a lot of different malware. You have... Code Red, if you remember that one.
By the way, why August?
I don't know. I think maybe people are getting, a lot of your college-y types are getting ready to go back to school, people coming back from vacation, there are more offices to attack, whatever the reason, May, April, and August are big months for viruses, along with December and February, in that order.
May, April, and August. I got to remember that.
And it could just be coincidental. But the worst, of course, was...